Have you ever considered that your life began as a single cell, 1/10 the width of a human hair? In Katharina Vestra's captivating exploration of human development, we discover the astonishing journey each of us takes from conception to birth. This book has become a sensation among science enthusiasts and curious readers alike, praised by publications from Scientific American to The Guardian for its ability to make complex embryology accessible and fascinating. What makes this work particularly special is how Vestra, a biochemist with a gift for storytelling, transforms what could be dry scientific material into a thrilling adventure story, your adventure story. Before Beyoncé's pregnancy announcements broke the internet, before ultrasound images became social media staples, humans have been fascinated by the mysterious process of our own creation. This book pulls back the curtain on that mystery with humor, wonder, and scientific precision. The story of your existence begins with an almost impossible competition, a microscopic marathon that defies imagination. Millions of sperm cells, each just 50 micrometers long, embark on a treacherous journey through the female reproductive tract, a distance equivalent to a human swimming from Los Angeles to San Diego. These microscopic cells face brutal obstacles: highly acidic vaginal fluid that can destroy them within hours, specialized immune cells programmed to hunt and eliminate them, and labyrinthine cervical crevices filled with sticky mucus that trap most contenders. Of the initial millions, only a few thousand survivors make it past these initial challenges, and they must then make a critical decision, choosing which fallopian tube to enter, all while swimming against a powerful downward current created by tiny hair-like structures called cilia. Meanwhile, the egg has been waiting patiently, for decades in fact. This remarkable cell has a fascinating history. Unlike sperm cells, which are produced daily by the millions, the egg that became you formed when your mother was herself a 20-week-old fetus in your grandmother's womb. During each month of her reproductive life, several eggs began the maturation process in structures called follicles, but typically only one completed the complex journey to full maturity. This mature egg, approximately 100 times larger than a sperm cell, carried half a set of chromosomes, some from your maternal grandmother, some from your maternal grandfather, in a random assortment that would never be repeated in any other egg. The successful sperm, equipped with sophisticated navigation systems, including temperature sensors and primitive smell receptors that detect chemical signals, somehow located this egg among the complex landscape of the fallopian tube. Upon contact with the egg's surface, the sperm released specialized enzymes from its acrosome, a cap-like structure, that dissolved the egg's protective outer layer, the zona pellucida, allowing it to penetrate and deliver its precious cargo, 23 chromosomes from your father, packed into a space smaller than most bacteria. The moment these chromosomes united with the 23 from your mother, your first cell, the zygote, was created, and your development began. Within seconds of fertilization, the egg underwent a remarkable transformation, rapidly forming a hard capsule around itself called the fertilization membrane to prevent other sperm from entering, a critical defense mechanism, as multiple fertilizations would create an unviable cell with 69 chromosomes instead of the required 46. This process, known as the cortical reaction, represents one of nature's most elegant solutions to preventing genetic chaos. With this single cellular fusion, the blueprint for your entire body was established, containing all the instructions needed to build your unique self, from your eye color to your height potential, from your blood type to your susceptibility to certain traits. Before the invention of microscopes, human development's earliest stages remained invisible mysteries. We owe much of our understanding to an unlikely pioneer, Anton von Leeuwenhoek, a Dutch merchant with no formal scientific education. His curiosity led him to build some of history's first effective microscopes, revealing a previously unseen universe teeming with what he called animalcules. Examining everything from pond water to dental plaque, Leeuwenhoek eventually turned his lenses toward human semen. There, he discovered thousands of tiny, tadpole-like creatures with round heads and transparent tails. Convinced these cells played a crucial role in reproduction, he spent years searching for miniature humans inside them. Though he never found the homuncula he sought, Leeuwenhoek remained certain that sperm contained a great secret, one simply too small for even his revolutionary instruments to detect. He wasn't entirely wrong. Sperm cells do indeed carry crucial information, though not in the form of a tiny preformed human. Instead, they contain half of the genetic instructions needed to build a person, encoded in DNA. This remarkable molecule remained undiscovered until 1869, when Swiss chemist Friedrich Miescher isolated nuclein from cell nuclei. Though Miescher correctly suggested this substance stored hereditary information, his insight was largely overlooked for decades, with scientists believing proteins rather than DNA controlled inheritance. Only in the 1940s did experiments conclusively prove genes were made of DNA, culminating in Watson and Crick's elegant 1953 double helix model. Their work revealed DNA structure as a spiral staircase of paired chemical bases, adenine A, always binding with thymine, and cytosine C, always pairing with guanine. These four letters, arranged in endless combinations, code for everything from eye color to oak trees, with your first cell containing over 2 meters of tightly coiled DNA within its microscopic nucleus. After fertilization, your first cell began dividing rapidly. 2 cells became 4, 4 became 8, until you formed a tiny raspberry-like cluster floating down the fallopian tube. Unlike bacteria or amoebas that thrive as single cells, you needed to become a complex, multicellular organism. By day 5, your outer cells began pumping fluid into the center, transforming the solid cluster into a hollow vesicle that entered the womb. What happened next was nothing short of an invasion. About a week after conception, your cells aggressively penetrated your mother's womb lining, bursting blood vessels and burrowing deep to establish the placenta. This remarkable organ, weighing about 1 pound at birth and historically revered in many cultures, would serve as your lifeline for 9 months. The placenta connects mother and child without directly mixing blood, exchanging oxygen, nutrients, waste, and hormones across a thin barrier. One of its first tasks was producing human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, the hormone detected in pregnancy tests. This chemical signal prevented menstruation, ensuring the womb remained a safe harbor for development. Human placentas are particularly invasive compared to other mammals, which is why the womb has strict quality controls, rejecting about 2/3 of implanting embryos, including those with chromosomal abnormalities. Yet this relationship isn't purely parasitic. Fascinating experiments with luminous green mice revealed that fetal stem cells can travel into the mother's bloodstream and help repair damaged organs. These cells can remain in the mother's body for decades after birth, potentially beating in her heart or functioning in her brain, a tiny contribution while you were freeloading in the womb. The placenta's development represents an evolutionary compromise between maternal and fetal interests. While the fetus benefits from extracting maximum resources, the mother's body must protect her own survival. This biological negotiation explains why pregnancy complications like preeclampsia occur when this delicate balance fails. While cells burrowing into the uterine lining formed your placenta, the cells that would become you remained protected within the hollow vesicle. 1 week after conception, you existed as a cluster of flexible stem cells capable of forming any body part and even creating more than one complete person. If these cells separated during early development, they could form identical twins, natural clones with exactly the same DNA strands. The timing of separation determines whether twins share a placenta or develop separate ones. Despite identical genetic material, such twins develop different fingerprints due to varying conditions in the womb. Non-identical twins result from 2 separate eggs fertilized by different sperm cells. These twins share no more DNA than regular siblings, but can exchange cells in the womb. Even more fascinating are chimeras, individuals whose bodies contain 2 different sets of DNA. This occurs when 2 separate embryos recombine before forming distinct bodies. This phenomenon explains the puzzling case of Lydia Fairchild, who nearly lost custody of her children when DNA tests suggested she wasn't their biological mother. Further investigation revealed she was a chimera. Her body contained cells from a twin sister she had absorbed in the womb. Her ovaries carried one DNA signature, while other tissues carried another, making her genetically both mother and aunt to her children. Unless you have an identical twin, your DNA is unique. The Human Genome Project mapped all 3 billion letters of human DNA, revealing that humans have only about 20,500 genes, roughly the same number as a tiny roundworm and fewer than a maize plant. Your genes account for less than 2% of your total DNA, with the remaining 98% containing crucial regulatory elements once dismissed as junk DNA. By your third week of development, your simple cellular cluster had flattened into a small round plate with two fluid-filled sacs, one becoming the amniotic sac that would enclose you, the other forming the yolk sac that would create your first blood cells before eventually becoming part of your intestines. During this critical period, your round plate became oval as a thin strip appeared, the primitive streak marking the beginning of your back. Cells migrated along this strip and dove beneath the surface, forming a new layer. Soon, a third layer developed between them, creating a triple-decker cellular sandwich with specialized functions. The top layer, ectoderm, would form your skin, hair, nerves, and brain. The bottom layer, endoderm, would become your intestines, liver, and lungs, while the middle layer, mesoderm, would develop into your bones, muscles, and heart. As development continued, your cells became increasingly specialized into over 200 different types, from oxygen-carrying red blood cells to the dancing sensory cells in your ears. Though all contained identical DNA, they differed because each cell type activated only specific genes to produce proteins. Genes function as recipes for proteins, with RNA molecules copying instructions from DNA and carrying them to cellular protein factories where amino acids are assembled according to the genetic code. Your first organs began forming as cells in the middle layer created the notochord, a thick string that signaled the top layer to form a neural tube that would become your spinal cord. At the head end, this tube swelled into three sacs that would develop into your brain. Around day 18, two small tubes formed on either side of your spine, merging to create your heart. By day 22, these specialized heart muscle cells began spontaneously contracting, creating your first heartbeat, a rhythm that would continue uninterrupted for the rest of your life. How do cells know what to become and where to go? The answer lies in their remarkable ability to communicate through chemical messages. Some messages race through the bloodstream like loud announcements. When you eat, your pancreas shouts, "Insulin," prompting liver cells to store blood sugar. Other conversations happen quietly between neighboring cells through short-range signaling molecules called cytokines. Some cells even talk to themselves through autocrine signaling, like immune cells producing self-stimulating compounds before launching attacks against pathogens. These chemical conversations operate through an intricate system of receptors on cell membranes, molecular keyholes that trigger cascading internal chain reactions when the right molecular key fits. When a signaling molecule binds to its receptor, it initiates complex pathways inside the cell, often affecting gene expression and cellular behavior. Diseases like diabetes illustrate what happens when this communication network fails. In type 1 diabetes, autoimmune destruction prevents the pancreas from producing enough insulin messengers. In type 2 diabetes, cellular receptors become resistant to insulin's presence, like a doorbell that no longer rings despite being pressed. Your body maintains homeostasis through this decentralized chemical language, similar to how starlings create mesmerizing murmurations by following three simple rules: maintain distance from neighbors, match their speed, and stay with the group. Your cells follow basic chemical instructions that collectively generate sophisticated biological structures. This self-organizing principle operates without any central control center. The development of your heart provides a fascinating example of this chemical choreography. It begins as a simple straight tube in the symmetrical embryo, but undergoes a complex leftward looping process called cardiac looping morphogenesis. This crucial asymmetry develops because specialized hair-like structures, called nodal cilia, located along the embryonic node, rotate in a coordinated manner. Their movement generates a leftward fluid flow that creates different concentration gradients of signaling molecules, like nodal and lefty, on either side of the developing embryo. These differential signals trigger distinct genetic programs on each side, ultimately directing the heart's leftward orientation. People with Cartagener syndrome, also known as primary ciliary dyskinesia, demonstrate the importance of this process. Their dysfunctional cilia disrupt the normal left-right patterning signals, resulting in situs inversus, where organs develop on opposite sides from their typical positions. Beyond organ placement, these patients often experience chronic respiratory infections due to immobile respiratory cilia and fertility issues because of impaired sperm and fallopian tube cilia. This chemical communication network exemplifies emergence, where complex patterns arise from simple rules followed by many individual components. Each cell responds to its local chemical environment, interpreting and relaying signals to its neighbors. These countless local interactions, guided by genetic programs and environmental cues, gradually build your body's intricate architecture without requiring a central coordinator or master blueprint. It's a testament to nature's ability to create complexity through elegant simplicity. By your fourth week of development, you had undergone a remarkable transformation from a simple disc into a tiny larva-like form with clearly defined anatomical orientations, top, bottom, front, and back. Your first vital organs were taking shape in a precisely orchestrated sequence, a primitive heart tube already pulsating with early signs of life, a rapidly expanding nerve tube in your head that would become your brain and spinal cord, and a rudimentary bowel tube running through your still transparent body. While this human developmental milestone is impressive, it's humbling to note that a common fruit fly achieves comparable complexity in less than 24 hours. These tiny flies, which have been the cornerstone of genetic research for over a century, share a surprisingly fundamental developmental strategy with humans: segmentation. During your third week of development, pairs of small tissue masses called somites emerged along your back in a rhythmic pattern. These would eventually form approximately 44 pairs of segments, laying the foundation for your segmented spine, associated muscles, and dermal tissues. The groundbreaking work of geneticist Edward Lewis in the 1970s revealed that specific master control genes, known as HOX genes, govern this intricate body segmentation process. These genes are arranged on chromosomes in a remarkable pattern. Their physical order mirrors the body segments they regulate, a phenomenon called collinearity. This discovery was later enhanced by Walter Gehring's identification of a crucial 180-letter DNA sequence called the homeobox, present in all HOX genes. This sequence creates specialized proteins that attach to DNA like molecular switches, orchestrating the complex symphony of development by turning other genes on and off at precise moments. These genetic switches operate with varying levels of control. Some function like master switches, activating entire rooms of genes simultaneously, while others work more precisely, controlling just a single lamp or gene. What's truly remarkable is the ubiquity of HOX genes across the animal kingdom, from simple worms to complex humans. Modern genomic analysis has revealed that humans share over half of our genes with fruit flies, including four complete sets of HOX genes that determine the fate and identity of segments along our spine. This extensive genetic conservation across species illuminates a profound truth about evolutionary mechanisms. Evolution progresses not merely through the creation of entirely new genes, but primarily through the novel combinations and repurposing of existing genetic tools. This explains why we observe such striking similarities in developmental patterns across vastly different species, even when their final forms appear radically different. It's as if nature has developed a basic genetic toolbox that it uses repeatedly, modifying and combining these tools in different ways to build the diverse array of life forms we see today. This insight has revolutionized our understanding of both development and evolution, showing how ancient genetic programs continue to shape modern life forms. By week five, you were pea-sized with a curled, transparent body, bowed head, and long tail. Your face was just beginning to form, with faint eye outlines. Four small folds marked your neck, and your heart pulsed visibly below them. You looked more like a prawn than a human. Some developmental features seem illogical. Why grow a tail that will become nothing but a bony stump? Why develop neck folds resembling fish gills? These peculiarities aren't unique to humans. All vertebrate embryos, lizards, chickens, elephants, pass through remarkably similar stages, a phenomenon Carl Ernst von Baer noticed in the 19th century before Darwin explained it. We share common ancestry. Our evolutionary history spans hundreds of millions of years, from fish-like ancestors in ancient oceans, through amphibians crawling onto land 400 million years ago, to reptiles with their protective egg membranes, and finally mammals with their protective wombs. Though humans have existed for just a fraction of life's 3.8 billion years, we begin life as aquatic creatures in our own salty ocean of amniotic fluid. Our fish ancestry explains seemingly odd features like hiccups, likely an inherited reflex from amphibian ancestors who used similar movements to push water through gills while blocking their lungs. The philtrum groove between nose and lip is simply the seam where three separate facial parts merge during development. Our neck folds, inherited from fish gills, evolve differently in land animals. The uppermost becomes our jaw, while others form ear bones crucial for hearing in air rather than water. Modern DNA analysis confirms what Darwin couldn't know. Humans, birds, and fish use the same fundamental genes to build their bodies. These ancient genes have been preserved because they're essential to early development, where mutations would be catastrophic. Evolution works more safely by refining details rather than changing fundamental structures, accepting the winding developmental path that leads to becoming human. As you approached birth, your body made final preparations for the dramatic transition from aquatic to terrestrial life. Your lungs, which began as a small bud at the top of your intestinal pood, similar to the bud in fish that typically becomes a swim bladder, underwent crucial maturation. They developed tiny air sacs and began producing surfactant, a substance that prevents these sacs from collapsing when you take your first breath. Birth itself begins with a secret conversation between mother and child that starts weeks before delivery. Recent research suggests the fetus may initiate birth signals from its lungs, essentially whispering, "We're ready to breathe." The fetal brain plays a crucial role too. Studies of sheep with malformed lambs revealed that brain abnormalities delayed birth significantly, suggesting the fetal brain helps trigger the process. When ready, nerve cells in the fetal brain signal hormone glands to increase cortisol production. This chemical messenger prepares the lungs by removing fluid and increasing surfactant, while fat cells break down reserves for energy. The placenta, which has been sending not yet signals to prevent strong contractions, now switches to let's go. Contractions intensify as the mother's muscles create more hormone receptors, and pressure on the birth canal triggers additional hormones. During birth, the fetus experiences temporary oxygen deprivation as contractions compress the placenta and umbilical cord. This triggers the highest stress hormone levels the body will ever experience, even higher than during a heart attack. These hormones aren't harmful, but essential, preparing the body for life outside by breaking down nutrition reserves and clearing fluid from the lungs before that first life-changing breath. Unlike most animals who are mobile shortly after birth, human newborns are remarkably helpless, capable only of sucking milk, sleeping, and crying. Our evolutionary shift to bipedalism reshaped our pelvis, creating a bowl-shaped structure that supports our spine but complicates childbirth. The human pelvis forces babies to rotate during birth so their backs point toward the mother's stomach. Humans compensate with assistance during birth from partners and midwives, unlike most monkey species that birth alone. Our babies' brains are only one-third their adult size at birth, compared to half from most mammals, continuing rapid development after birth, doubling in size within a year. This underdevelopment makes human infants helpless but remarkably adaptable, able to shape their brains according to their environment and experiences. The journey from conception to birth reveals not just how we are made, but who we are, creatures shaped by billions of years of evolution, carrying ancient genetic wisdom in every cell, yet uniquely adapted for learning and change. Each of us begins as a single cell and emerges 9 months later as perhaps the most complex and potential-filled organism on Earth, a testament to the remarkable process that created you.